Thank you very much. I think, I hope most of you can understand me. We do call ourselves the Seattle East. When we meet at our home, we watch the cybercast. So we usually try to get in touch with Mr. Luker to let him know that there'll be, you know, anywhere from 4 to 5 of us when some people come up to spend the weekend. And I talked to our brethren, or a friend of mine, rather, back in Atlanta just a few minutes ago before coming in to, number one, it's wonderful to be back in Seattle, particularly when you find out that the hall we're meeting in for the past 2 weeks, I was there last week, we got there, the hall was 81 degrees, turn on the air conditioner, and after 3.5 hours, it had plummeted to 80. So, and it didn't do any better today. So, but we have about, anywhere from 75 to 100 in attendance in Atlanta, depending, you know, just like most places, I guess. Anyway, it's wonderful to be here, and I thank Mr. Luker for allowing me to speak. I don't know how y'all feel, but we'll find out later, I guess. I know everyone here that was here got to hear Mr. Kylo's sermon and also the letter he sent out that dealt with having zeal for God's work. Not a physical zeal. You know, we all have that in the past. Any of us have been a part of the church for a while. All the basketball games, the team dances, the Bible studies every week, the spokesman's club every week, and after a while, you say, you know what, I'm getting kind of old. And there's no way in the world, my wife and I talk about it a lot, that we could do that again. But as he pointed out, God and Christ are not looking for physical zeal necessarily, because, again, as you get older, there's only so much you can do, and less as time goes on. But what God and Christ are looking for is spiritual zeal in each and every one of us, and that's what I'd like to talk about today. A zeal to accomplish the work and prepare ourselves to help Christ rule in the world tomorrow. You know, the Bible defines zeal, or that kind of zeal, as to be hot, as to boil, or to be fervent in what we do, to have enthusiasm for God's way of life. And, you know, and the great thing about spiritual zeal is you can have it regardless of your age. I know in Atlanta we have some wonderful young people that truly you can just see it. They have a zeal for God's way of life. And we have some elderly people that have been in the church over 50 years, and they haven't lost their zeal. We have a good friend, a widow lady, and I tend to keep it that way because she prays for us a lot. And every now and then we'll go out to dinner, and she said, well, I like to pay for mine. I said, I can't afford to let you pay. You know, keep praying for us. That's good enough for me. And you can depend on her, and she will. So that's the kind of zeal, brethren, that I think Mr. Kylo was talking about. That's certainly what God and Jesus Christ want us to have, and it's something we can have. You know, we learn a lot about that in the days of unleavened bread, in that there are two holy days, one in the beginning, one in the end. And one of the significance, or one of the lessons from that, of course, is that God wants us to have righteousness from the time we come into the church until the time our spiritual life ends at death, or at the return of Jesus Christ. And during that time, we're growing. Obviously, when we first come into the church, we got a lot to learn, but the years go by and we learn more and more and more, and we never stop learning. And I think that's a significant lesson. The Holy Days teach us so many things, and the more you're around, the more you learn, and the more you realize you're never going to learn at all. I'd like to turn to Colossians, if you would, please, chapter 3. And this is our life, is it not, what is described here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. I guess you could say with all the spiritual zeal you could muster. As working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance, which of course is eternal life, that's what we're all looking for, from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And that's who we serve, brethren, by serving each other. I had an experience back at the first of this month. I went temporarily insane and let my wife build a new house about 4 or 5 years ago, and we had to have the retaining walls torn down. She chose the builder. I did not, and I'm never going to let her forget it. But anyway, I had these two retaining walls, and I finally found somebody who would do the job, and a young fellow came out, and I said, well, what about this, and what about that, and what about this? He said, look, just let me tell you something. He says, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm going to treat you the way that I want to be treated. I said, that's good enough for me. We shook hands on the deal, and that was it. So he shows up the next day, and he's got this backhoe, and he's ripping out retaining walls, and timbers are going everywhere, and he's got this fellow helping him. One of the retaining walls was by the garage, and the other one was by the house. And so I went outside, and I said, Doug, I said, man, I said, be careful. I said, you're going to knock the house down. He said, no. He said, before I get over there, he said, I'm going to pray about it. He said, you don't have anything to worry about. I said, you know what? I'm going to leave you alone, and I'm not going to bother you anymore. Well, I had to run and go pick up some materials for him to finish the wall with, called duckbill things. They drive them into the wall and nail them on the new wall, and the wall's not going to go anywhere, not in this lifetime anyway. Anyway, my favorite fast food restaurant in Georgia is Chick-fil-A. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Chick-fil-A. You know, I got to see one person nodding. And oh, yeah, best chicken sandwich in the world. And their motto is, we didn't invent the chicken, just the chicken sandwich. So, I mean, we're very deep thinkers in the South. And anyway, so I go in there and I order my Chick-fil-A, and this little girl comes up, and she is the most polite young lady I have ever come across in my life. I said, yeah, I'd like to have, yes, sir. And I said, well, would you mind mixing my tea half unsweet, half diet lemonade? No, sir, it'd be my pleasure. So I paid her, and she said, thank you so much. And I said, well, I said, you're the nicest young lady I've encountered in probably all my life. I said, you must have wonderful parents. And she said, no, but I sure wish I did. She said, it's by the grace of God I'm who I am. I said, wow. And she said, you know, we all are faced with problems in life. It's how we deal with them that matters. Coming from the mouth of a 16 or 17-year-old kid, I walked away after this flabbergasted, realizing that these people have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. And how much more zeal should we have because we have the knowledge of God? I don't mean going around preaching, and that I don't mean that, but really having our life in the work of God. A spiritual zeal, like Mr. Clyde Kylo was talking about. I'd like to, I wrote this in my notes, you can turn to it if you want to, but it talks about the zeal of Christ, and it says in Isaiah 59, verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance, of clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. In other words, he was just wrapped up with zeal for the work of God. And that's the way we should be, brethren, with God's help. We certainly can't muster that up on our own by any means. But with God, we can, and the church can grow and go forward and live up to our name as united as never before, at least I think. And I'm sure that's the feeling of all of you here today. If you'd like to find out a little bit more about zeal and what it took to, back in Nehemiah's day, you know, Mr. Kylo mentioned that in his sermon. You can go back and read Nehemiah chapter 1 through 5. And what you'll find is they had to have zeal to finish that work. And they had to fight for what they were doing and believed in, just like we do today. We don't go around armed with swords or anything like that, like they had to defend themselves, but we do have the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword, something to live by and get our minds and hearts in the work of God. You know, in James 1:18, it says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Christ has a lot of zeal for us, brethren, to bring us into his kingdom. And that's his focus, and that's what he wants to do. And all we've got to do is yield to God, and he will provide that spiritual strength that we need and that zeal to get us through life, because life is not getting any easier, is it? The news continues to get worse. It's very difficult. I don't know what I would do or how I would act. It'd be tough growing up as a teenager in this life. I have one teenage grandson. He's 14 years old, and it's not easy, all the pulls and problems and everything in school. But regardless of your age, you can have a zeal for Christ and for God, and they'll see us through any problem we face. My wife and I we have a daughter that lives in Houston that has taken upon, she and her husband have taken upon themselves to repopulate the earth, I think. They have a lot of children. And anyway, so we went down for Passover, and The next day, Mr. Franks gave a sermon on the Sabbath, but it dealt with Pentecost. And it was very interesting. Like I said, the longer you're in the church, the more you know, and you think, well, you know, I've heard pretty much a lot of sermons and stuff. But anyway, he mentioned Pentecost. The significance, or a couple of significance, the Pentecost is, the reason that it's counted, as he pointed out, is God has only allotted a certain amount of time for the harvest of the first fruits. And only God knows how much time that is. And there's only going to be a certain number of first fruits. And if that doesn't inspire you with zeal to know that we have an opportunity to be a part of the first fruits, it's incredible when you think about it. And again, the significance of the holy days and what they point us to and how they keep us on track and the Sabbaths and so forth. Now we're heading to the fall holy days, which is going to picture the time that we can take everything we've been through and what we've learned and the zeal that Christ has given us and help the people in the world tomorrow to live the kind of life that God really designed us to live in the beginning. But because of Satan and problems and so forth, you know, that's just not the way this world is. But someday all that will be changed, and we have an opportunity to be a part of that. And that's, to me, incredible. Well, let's turn to final scriptures. Let's turn to Romans 12. And I guess a logical question is, you could say, well, how do I know if I have zeal? I mean, you can't 24/7 have zeal. I mean, we're all human beings. We all have problems. Things happen. So, you know, the church on the website, if you go on the church's website, every Monday they have a thing called Compass Check, don't they? So you can go on there and listen to it, and I think it's pretty good. Well, I think if you can go to, I'm sure there's many, many other scriptures, but you could go to Romans 12, verse 9, and we'll read these. It'll kind of give you a compass check, I think, and you can say, well, do I have zeal or do I not have zeal? Well, let's read it. In verse 9 it said, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Brethren, you cannot do that without God's help and without spiritual zeal. It's impossible. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Boy, that's tough to do. I tell you what, if you've ever driven on Atlanta highways, you are ready to get even many times during the day. It is unbelievable. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Eternal. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Brethren, we're heading toward God's kingdom, and it's going to take spiritual zeal to get us all there. So let's ask God to supply it for us so that we can finish our spiritual journey and help him complete his work here on this earth.